praying to the Lord. We'll be starting a series of teaching on where there is no church. It's going to take us 5 lessons on where there is no church. If a Christian lives in a place where there is no church, so then what should he do? In a number of nations presently in the world, Christian meetings are actually restricted. Not only restricted, in some places they are actually banned. And presently with the pandemic, corona pandemic, we are actually forced not to have meetings in a number of nations because the one nation after the other actually want to control the disease. If you look at where I am ministering now, and it's for over 20 years, we have constantly met in this hall, but now, as you can see for yourself, the hall is totally empty. So we should be preparing ourselves to actually confront and ask, where there is no church, what should we do? The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that we should not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But you may find yourself in a place where it's not actually possible for you to meet with anyone. It's not possible for you to meet if there were a number of people together. So how do you proceed? That is what we will be looking at in this series of teaching on where there is no church. We will not look at the theology of what is a church, but we shall go straight to handling the context in what we believe the church to be. Hallelujah. If a believer cannot continue as a Christian where there is no church, he cannot actually live as a Christian where there is a church. It may actually be an indication of the fact that he has not yet met the Lord. Because when someone encounters the Lord comes to live in him and live within him. And wherever he is, whether there are people there or not, he can continue as a believer. Our relationship with God does not start with what we see outside or externally. It starts from the inside, the invisible God who by faith is believed to exist and who is known to be here, whether there are other people with me or not. So it is not something external, it is something internal. My relationship is primarily something internal. I can continue with the Lord, whether there are other believers with whom to meet or not. My knowledge of the ever-present God, the invisible to the naked eyes, but visible to anyone who by faith believes that he exists. It is by faith that we know God exists. He is here, though alone, I know he is very present. The church is not a building like this. Building may be absent, building may be closed down, but the church exists. It is two or three gathered in his name that actually constitute a church. But you may also find yourself where it is very, very difficult to have the two or three, where no one else is available to meet with a believer. A believer finds himself alone. The first thing is an assurance that God is with him. So God is with him, whether another person is with him or not. God's presence to his inner being, and present even the external, because it will not be long before he begins to know deeper and deeper assurance that this invisible God is very present by what the invisible God is doing. This knowledge of God's presence gives the believer the confidence to press on, gives the believer the boldness to press on, give the believer the joy, the assurance to press on, even when he thinks he is alone. When we cannot have the conventional church as we normally know, we have set out to create one in our 10th series of teaching, or 10th lesson in this series of teaching. We shall actually look at how do you press on to create one, where or to begin one, where the finance is truly launched. In this series today, we are actually looking at how you can deepen your personal relationship with God, deepen your relationship with God, and lay a foundation for that church also to start it. Because the foundation of the church is actually this life that the Bible calls some believers in Jerusalem, that they were the pillars of the church. When God is preparing a man to minister to crowd tomorrow, God takes him away from the crowd. God draws the man away from people so that one day he may actually be in a position to minister to people. So when you find yourself without people, you find yourself with no one around you, God is actually preparing yourself to be able to have a crowd tomorrow. What do you do when you are alone? You need to deepen this personal relationship with the Lord, get rooted with the Lord, get to know God more and more, get to give yourself to worship God more and more, in order that tomorrow you may be used by this same God in order to minister to multitude tomorrow. It is a separation. What others call the wilderness experience when you are alone with God. This separation from men, men's presence into the presence of the Lord. It is a separation into a desert before a man finally appears. During appear to men. During such a separation, a man deepens his personal relationship with God. His knowledge of God, and he is changed into the likeness of God. He comes to know God more and more. He comes to deepen his relationship with God. He comes to draw closer to God. He comes to have God reveal himself more and more to him. He comes to embrace the vision that is on God's heart, so that tomorrow, when God sent him out to begin to carry out, to begin to accomplish that vision, it is the God that he has encountered that is actually sending him out. As the Bible says, they that know their God, they shall be strong and they will do exploits. So within that period, so the person is strengthening himself, he is knowing God more and more, and he is preparing himself one day to become a doer or exploit. As you can see in the Bible talks about John the Baptist in Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 1, from the verse 18, the Bible tells us about John the Baptist that the child grew in spirit. I'll read it to us. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. So, what did he do? He became strong in spirit. He lived in the wilderness, he strengthened his relationship with God, and a moment came when he actually was released. He appeared to Israel. And the Bible says when he appeared to Israel, crowd came from all directions. And when the crowd came, all that the crowd wanted to know is, what should we do? And John had an answer for every one of them, because he knew them. His presence in the present, in his time in God's presence, gave him the knowledge of man. Whether it was a soldier, John told them what they should do. That's collectors, John told them what they should do. He knew God, and those who know God will finally know the men to whom they will be ministering. Without this life alone with God, a public appearance, public ministry may only ruin the man. Unfortunately, that's what the position many people start their ministry. They do not know what is called a life alone with God. They suddenly begin to minister to people when they do not know God, and they make a shipwreck, not only of their faith, but they become a scandal in the ministry they set out to carry out. So without a time alone with God,
public ministry may end up in a total scandal. They that know God are captivated by the glory of God. When a man has encountered a Shekinah glory of God, it is not possible for that same person one day to be seeking his own glory. Why do people seek their own glory? They seek their own glory because they think that they are great, they think that they know it, they think that they are powerful. Unfortunately, it is because they have never encountered the greatness of God. When a man has encountered the great God, a man has encountered the glory of God, a man has encountered the beauty of God, a man has encountered the knowledge of God, he is a person who falls down in worship. And most of the time, he is constantly down. And even if God were to use him to do anything, he will never seek his own glory. Unfortunately, many do not know God because they have not spent this time with God. Why have they not spent time with God? They are so full of many things. So full of many things. There's no passion to seek God. There's no passion to seek God in their heart because they have not emptied their heart. They are full of the world, filled with the things of the world, filled with sin, filled with the passion for greatness. And because there's not that emptiness, there's no hunger for God. And because there's no hunger for God, they don't seek God. Because they don't seek God, they don't find God. And because they don't find God, they don't know God. And because they don't know God, they don't love God. And without this love for God, man can truly not be able to serve God, because serving God is the overflow of a man's knowledge of God. What my father is saying is that when you find that someone you seem to be alone, when they seem to be no believer with you, when you find yourself, when there's even nobody to pray with, there's nobody to fellowship with, you have found yourself in a position where God is preparing you for something great tomorrow. You have actually found yourself when God is rooting you to be able to handle multitude tomorrow. And in order to do that, there's that hunger in your heart, that passion where God is sending you more and more into His presence. As you look for God more and more, more and more, God will reveal Himself to you more and more. And as God reveals Himself to you, you will know Him more and more. And when you begin to speak for God, your passion will be the glory of God and service to man and never glory for yourself. Those who seek glory for themselves will be pulled down by God, because God will never share His glory with any man. The Bible tells us about Moses in Acts of Apostles chapter 20 from verse chapter 7 from verse 20 to 26, that Moses was sent to the wilderness. Moses had to go to the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years in order to encounter this God that we are talking about, in order to know this God, in order to, that God may reveal Himself to him. But before that, Moses had actually started trying to serve God, hoping that the people will know God has sent him. So in Acts chapter 7, we see a number of things about Moses. That Moses had many advantages, ordinary advantages, and the Bible says, or natural advantages, that he was no ordinary child. If you look together with us, you will look, see it in Acts chapter 7, that Moses was no ordinary child. Moses was raised in the palace by Pharaoh's daughter. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of Egypt. And the Bible says Moses was powerful in speech and he was powerful in action. And the Bible actually says in that place that Moses thought that people would recognize that God has sent him to deliver them. Unfortunately for him, he did not know that the people did not recognize him. And because at that time, he was not God sending him, he was actually sending himself. What did Moses do? Moses, in his own natural wisdom, killed a man as he needed to do, then dug with his own wisdom, the wisdom of Egypt. He dug a hole in the sand and covered the man. And finally, the same place where he thought God had called him to rescue his people, Moses had to run away for 40 years in the wilderness. Moses learned a number of things. Moses encountered God. And before Moses encountered God, Moses had actually learned to die to himself. He had to die to the wisdom of Egypt. He had to die to his, that is, powerful action. He had to die to his natural abilities. And Moses had to come to that position with the same man that he was said of him, that he was powerful in speech, powerful in deed. He could speak so powerfully. Moses was the same person that he was being said. He said, "I don't know how to speak." Moses had encountered God. Moses had discovered himself. Moses had died to himself. And a man who gave himself to seek God and to become a weapon that God had used in that position, God now revealed himself to Moses. God appeared to Moses. And that's exactly what happened. When a man finds himself that he is alone, no one to meet with, he will learn to discover himself. He will learn to uproot all that needs to be uprooted in his life. He will learn to become that type of weapon that God can use. And he will learn to know the God that he will one day serve. So the 40 years of separation from Moses were 40 years of transformation, 40 years of discovery, 40 years of encounter with God, and 40 years of being called. A moment came when he was called by God, and it was a moment to be commissioned by God. So when the Lord church, a man uses the opportunity for this type of transformation that Moses had in preparation for the day God will call him. We don't know about your life, whether you are actually in that situation where there's no one with whom you can meet. You may not be in that situation. You may even right now be meeting with some people. But it's no longer the type of big crowd you have to have because of the situation that went through in the nation. And I can actually assure you that God is not only preparing you, God is preparing the multitudes that are meeting in this smaller group, wherever they are now. God is preparing them for the mighty explosion that we know is coming, because a mighty revival is going to come upon planet Earth, when there will be a massive exodus of people from the world to the Lord. Ah, God will need you and me in order to handle them. And for you and me to be able to handle them, we need to be people who have encountered the Lord, and we need to be people who have come to that position that we have not only laid down our life down, we have died to ourselves, so that as we minister to this crowd that will soon come, we will not be a problem to the crowd, we will not be a problem to this multitude. That was the case about Moses. What of Elijah? Elijah equally started his life in the presence of the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, the Bible talks about Elijah. Then Elijah said, "As the Lord God before whom I stand live." He said, "As the Lord God before whom I stand." He was a man of standing. That before this time, nobody had known about Elijah. But he was a mighty prophet. A prophet who had prepared himself in the presence of the Lord. A prophet who had spent time in God's presence. A prophet who had encountered God. And a prophet who would say, "I have a standing before God." And when he speaks, his words were like the word of God. He would say, "As the Lord God lives, before I stand, there will be no rain upon this land except by my word." And his word came to pass. For although the man who spent time in God's presence today, tomorrow when you speak the word of God. Tomorrow when you speak, God will back you. The man of God's presence today will be a man of God's word tomorrow. The man of God's presence today will be a man that will be followed tomorrow. Moses had to lead over 600,000 men. Actually, there were millions of people because they were children, they were women. He had to lead a massive crowd out of Egypt because he had encountered the Lord. And Elijah could stand and speak, and for over three years, there was no drop of rain upon the land because God was backing him. And the Bible says about us that Elijah was a man just like you and me. Elijah was a man just like you and me. It means that you and me can also develop this deep relationship when we know God, that when we lift our hand and speak, it is as if God has spoken. You and me can also spend time that it can be said of us that we are men of God's presence. We have a standing before God, and when we speak, things will begin to happen. So Elijah started his ministry not by speaking to men. He started his ministry by spending time in God's presence to develop a relationship with God, so that when he will go out, God will back him. And when he speaks, I said, there will be no rain. God will make. Elijah could not go over, not rain. It was when he said, after speaking, God will send them stop. Because the man of God has spoken. Today we want to be men of men, spending no time ever with God. That's my challenge to everyone of us. We should have a standing before God. We should spend time before God. When you seek not to be happy, you want to be, you are not alone. God is with you. Deepen your relationship with God. Seek to know God. Deepen that personal relationship with God, and you will not be alone. For when you open your mouth and speak, God will back you. One of the young Samuel. Samuel began his ministry by the Lord. The Bible said the boy Samuel, that is in 1 Samuel chapter 11:1, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. He was ministering to the Lord, and that is what we are insisting on. When you find yourself alone, you are called, come back into God's presence, minister to the Lord, spend time in ministering to the Lord. And someone ministered to the Lord. Someone spent time ministering to the Lord, young as he was. And the Bible says, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. Why was the word of the Lord rare? Was it because God could not speak? No, God did not have the perfect rule to speak. In an increasing way, we are listening to the word of men. The word of God becoming rare because very few people are spending time to listen to God, to hear the word of God. So when they come, when they speak to men, many of them say, God has spoken to us. In an increasing way, we don't have the men of God. We have the men of men. May God, during this period, and may God bring you back into his presence so that they will set up you, that you are a man of God, you are a woman of God, you have the word of God. You can be said of you, he has the word of God. If he tells you something, God has spoken to you. That is where we should go back. He spent time in God's presence. Someone spent time in God's presence. He spent time big being. He spent time. Oh, even the sons of Eli, they were inside the temple, inside the building, which we call today the church, but they were not in the presence of God. Because you can actually be in the building, you are not in the presence of God. Samuel was in the presence of God, ministered to the Lord, he learned to know the Lord, and a moment came when God revealed himself to the Lord, to Samuel. And that's what we see in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. The Bible talks about Samuel. In 1 Samuel, one of the consequences of this time that Samuel spent with the Lord ministry to the Lord, what impact did it have in his life and in his ministry? We shall just read with you from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. The Lord is Samuel as he grew up. May the Lord be with you as you grow up. May the Lord be with you as you give him more and more time. The same thing as the soul. And because the Lord was with John the Baptist as he grew up, the Bible says he grew in spirit. Many of us are growing in the body, becoming fatter and fatter, fatter and fatter, taller and taller and taller. But our spirit are so tiny, so that even when God is trumpeting, shouting, you don't hear, because your spirit is undeveloped. And because your spirit is undeveloped, when many things God is saying so much, you hear by the very little. Samuel grew up, and the Bible says, the Lord was with Samuel. God will be the man who has developed a personal relationship with him, who has given him time, who has spent time in his presence. God was with Samuel because Samuel was with God. God was with Samuel because Samuel was with God. God was with Samuel because Samuel deeply paid the price to be in God's presence. If you pay the price today to be in God's presence, when you set out to go for God, God will go with you. But the problem of many people is that there's no time. They just want to jump all over the place. One activity after the other. Then the question is, you are going to serve with God. Do you know that God? Have you spent time with that God? What is his name? Moses had to ask God. When I go to these people and say, God has sent me, the God of your father has sent me, and they ask, what is his name? What would I tell them? If people ask you, what is this God that you talk about? Who is this God? What would you tell them? Will you only tell them the God that Pastor told me about? The God that I've heard him talking about? What is the encounter? The only personal encounter with God that brings you to the point that you will never be shaken because you say, I know the God I am serving. The slightest problem, the whole world is shaken. Does he know the God I am shaken? Because they know the God of the universe, rules the universe. He rules him over the universe. He holds their life in their hands. But those who don't know their God, the slightest thing, they panic. The Lord of Samuel. And the Bible says, and God let none of Samuel's word fall to the ground. It was not God's name, none of God's word. Because God of Samuel, God let none of Samuel's word to fall to the ground. God began to back Samuel. Samuel could open his mouth and say something. God said, my servant, my friend, my child, my son, the one I have chosen has spoken. Therefore, the word he has spoken must come to pass. When you have spent time with God, deeper relationship with God, and have a personal relationship with God, called by God, when you begin to speak, God will back you. For many people, whatever word they speak, they fall to the ground. They never come to accomplish. They are never accomplished. Because they don't know God and God doesn't even know them. And the Bible says, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as the prophet of the Lord. There are people who are not advertising themselves. I am apostle this, I am prophet this, I am pastor this, I am evangelist this. Samuel did not advertise himself. All Israel, they knew that Samuel was attested. He was attested by whom? By God. It is God who attests us. It is God. They knew it, that Samuel was attested. Why should people be putting posters all over? The great apostle this, the great prophet this, the great servant this, the great this. It is just because they don't know God. When God does not attest people, they set out to attest themselves. They are the ones who write their own condemnation letters. It is God who is manifestation of his servant. Seven are those who know him. And the Bible says, they will not continue to appear as Shiloh. The problem of many people is that they started the right relationship with God. They encountered God earlier, and they started meeting God, but the relationship was not continuous. For Samuel, the Lord continued to appear. God continued to appear to him. And the Bible says, he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. One of the ways through which God revealed himself is through his word. Those who don't even give time to read this written word, how will God reveal himself? For Samuel, it was not just a written word somewhere. He spent time to hear what God was saying. And God will not speak to you who does not give him time. That is Samuel, a man who ended up backed by God. That is Samuel, a man who ended up knowing God. That is Samuel, a man who ended up that none of his words, whatever he spoke, came to pass. That was Samuel. That is what God would do and need to do and to become. When there is no church, you spend time to know God. And where you are now, you see even to the evening that you can no longer appear that you have been church, that you have been synagogue, that you have been structure. It is a call for you to deepen this personal relationship with God. Begin to minister to the Lord. Begin to worship God. Begin to seek God. Begin to hear the voice of God. Set out and encounter God. You will not be alone before God will miss you. God will miss you in a way that you've never imagined. Why? Because God will attest that you are inside. You become the mouthpiece of God. And when you speak for God. God will back to God. The Lord continued to appear to Samuel. So before God used Samuel for the whole nation, because the Bible said, and all Israel came to him. Imagine a whole nation. This day will run after people. But for them, look at the case of John the Baptist. The whole nation came to John the Baptist. Look at the case of Samuel. The whole nation came to Samuel. But today, we run after people, but we have never run after God. When we run after God, people will run after us. When we run after God, we give time to God. We follow God, we seek God, we know God. We become a magnet that will magnet the nation, that will pull the nation to that center of life. And that center of life is where God is. And the man who has sought God and found God, people will come whether they like it or not. People will come because they know this man has God. So we spend time to for God, to deepen our relationship with God, to know the word of God, to wait on God, to hear the voice of God, and tomorrow we will become God's voice to the nation. And people who want to hear the voice of God, they will come to us. So the great revival that is coming, God is preparing his men today for that revival. And one of the characteristics of those men is that they give time to God. They are seekers of God. They are just, not just men excited by meetings. They are not just men of the crowd, they are men of the presence of God. When there is no church, a believer gives time to seek God. He gives time to know God. He gives time to hear from God. He gives time to be changed by God. He gives time to examine himself. Because God will expose your life. Some people don't even know themselves. God will expose who you are to you so that tomorrow, when you set out, the you that was is no longer the you that is waiting for God. God has changed, God has transformed you, and now you are the man that can be used by God, and you are the man that will cause a scandal in the name of God. Before Jesus set out the 12 apostles, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 15, that he called some to be with him, that he may send them out. He called the 12 from the crowd, not to a party, not to run here and there after one or the other. He called them to be with him, primarily to be with him, being with God, being with God. are people who have spent time with God. There are very few that you can say of them that they have been with God. And then when they don't reflect the glory of God. When Moses spent time with God, when he came back to the Israelites, he was reflecting, his face was shining. He had met God. He had met God. He had met God. Those who spend time with God will encounter God. So Jesus called the 12 to be with him so that he may send them out to preach for you. You are with him today, you will be sent out to God. You are with him today, you will be sent out to God. The question you ask yourself, whether you are spending time with him today. The question you ask yourself, whether you are one of those that God is preparing to meet with hundreds of thousands tomorrow, because hundreds of thousands will come in. The world is in a state of panic. And after that state of panic, the world will run back to God. And unfortunately, when they run back to God, we have millions of babies. Shall babies come in to take care of our babies? Shall people run to God only to come and meet the group of people who don't know God? Shall people run from the world that have put their confidence in the world, worldly system, the language of the world? Shall they run to the church also to meet people who are there in the church, worshiping, speaking the language of the world? We must be preparing ourselves because the time is coming and it will be done. So Jesus calls some to be with him so that he may send them out. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself, before his public ministry, we know about Jesus that he spent 40 days in the wilderness. We know about Jesus that even at the age of 12, when he was in the temple, he baffled the religious leaders. Because at the age of 12, he already knew so much. How did he know it? You cannot know without learning, and you cannot learn without a teacher. Because he taught by his father. He knew. And when he met the religious teachers, he was surprised. Jesus spent 30 years preparing himself for his ministry. How did he spend those 30 years? He spent the 30 days in the presence of God. One of Apostle Paul, we're going to read something from Galatians chapter 1. We also just look at this apostle that really known to him as one of the greatest apostles that ever lived. In Galatians chapter 1, from verse 15. Galatians 1, verse 15. We'll actually start from verse 11 to 18. He said, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism. I intensely persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond meaning of my own age, and was exceeding zealous for the tradition of my father. But when God, listen to me very well, when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia. And later I returned to Damascus. He said, when God was pleased to reveal his son to him so that he may preach, God first revealed Christ to us so that we may preach. But God does not reveal Christ to us when we are in cut off with all our activities, jumping here and there. That's why we all said that God wanted to do something to him. The Bible said he withdrew to Arabia. That is the Arabian experience of Paul. His time of retreat, when he received his message.
men of God's presence today will be men of God's revelation tomorrow. You have a revelation of God if you have spent time in God's presence. What we are actually saying here, that when the Lord church, the first thing that a believer should do is to prepare himself when you are in church. The believer needs to prepare himself. And he prepared himself by paying the price to know God. He prepared himself by paying the price to know the Lord of God. He prepared himself by paying the price to worship God. He prepared himself by paying the price to deepen a personal relationship with God and become a friend of God, so that tomorrow God will be able to bow to God. So for Paul, Paul spent time to be taught by God, so that tomorrow he will teach others. The one who is taught by God today will become a teacher of others tomorrow. Because when there is a church, we will need teachers, we will need pastors, we will need many workers. But now that there is no church in power, now that we are limited to being fellowship with that God, why don't you spend the time building your personal relationship with God, so that when that moment comes, God will use you, and God will use what you already have. God will not use what you don't have. So Paul received the gospel message by revelation. He gave time so that God may reveal his word to him. He spent time in God's presence. He knew God. He heard the voice of God. God is respectful of no one. So this first message under our seal where there is no church. Our first message is deepen your personal relationship with God. Deepen your personal knowledge of God. Deepen your friendship with God. Our first message is, even though you are alive, and like Moses, die one of die. So in conclusion, when a believer finds himself where there is no church, he gives himself to know God, to be a minister to God, to worship God. He gives himself to receive all the revelation that he must receive from God, so that tomorrow, when they are not due to minister to him, you have what to tell them. In our next message, we shall be looking at how God uses a believer to get the first person with whom that believer will start what is truly called the Church of God. How do you win that believer? How do you conquer that believer so that the two of you can begin to do what the Bible says, when two or three are gathered in my name? Because in many places, when people are probably saying they are gathered, they are not gathered in his name. Many are gathered in their name. So there is the first person to be born to the Lord, and after that first person is born to the Lord, the two of you must be able to know whether you are all surrendered to the Lord, whether you can actually meet for the Lord. I went to one nation, and I was showing a church, and the owner of that church is a Muslim. And that Muslim had hired a number of pastors in courts, paying them, and they come every Sunday, crowd, very big crowd like that. And after the church service, they bring the money to the Muslim, share, give their own part, pay them. They are not gathered in the name of the Lord. So we shall be looking at how to be the first person with whom you can begin to gather in the name of the Lord. And how you can become one in that first person. And in our third message, we shall tell you how to start a church where there is no church. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord pull you closer to himself. And may you have a passion to withdraw into the presence of the Lord and deepen this relationship with the Lord, so that the Lord can actually be able to use you when you want to talk. So that the Lord can have a voice who will speak. So that the Lord can have someone he can call his servant. And
so that you go into the world and have someone you can turn to when you want. Such a person is called the man of God.